On the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we hear a story about Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River. Jesus' baptism is traditionally one of three feast days. We'll wait for a little bit of settling to happen here. Big deep breath, everybody. There we go. Jesus' baptism is traditionally one of three feast days referred to as Feasts of Light. The Feasts of Light include Epiphany, marking the wise man's recognition of the true nature of the Christ child, Jesus' baptism, and the wedding feast at Cana, in which Jesus performed his first miracle. We just sang a hymn that mentioned all of those miracles, or all of those stories. These are feasts of light because they illuminate God's nature. They are three occasions on which God chose to reveal God's self as lived in Jesus Christ. And they indicate that the incarnation, God taking human form in Jesus, is not only about Jesus, but it is about us. These three feasts demonstrate that to Christians not only that God, what God is like, but also who God wishes us to be. What does your baptism mean to you? How has your baptism shaped who you are today? If you have children and had them baptized, why did you have them baptized? I spent the past week asking people about baptism. Some people, like Sandra Bushelian, remember their baptism. Baptized in another tradition, Sandy was baptized in a creek when she was 12. She keenly remembers coming up out of those waters to dazzling and blinding light overhead. Those baptized as infants talked about their gratitude for the deep sense of connection they find rooted in their baptism, being a part of something bigger than themselves. Everyone I heard from desired the same for their children and their grandchildren. Baptism is a rite of naming and claiming. The gifted Christian writer Rachel Held Evans spoke of baptism as the celebration of the name given to us by God, beloved. Nothing, not even baptism, can make God love us any more than God already does. Baptism is when we commit to live by that name and are grafted into the fellowship of all those who share that name. Not only do we lay claim to the name beloved, but we also reject all the other names that others, for good or for ill, might try to foist upon us. Names like good or bad, male or female, black or white, gay or straight, beautiful or unattractive, smart, are not the sharpest tool in the shed. In baptism, we renounce all the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. We say, we are beloved. That is enough. Baptism, then, is about celebrating the incomparable gift we receive as creatures beloved by God. But baptism is also about more fully engaging the responsibility that this identity of beloved entails. The baptism of Jesus initiated his public ministry, which led him to the cross. As individual Christians, our call is into the community of the church. Often, we come with our own crosses to bear. Yet it is together as a community of the beloved, as church, that we are meant to witness to an all too often cruel and violent world and bring a message of hope in the face of despair. Whatever the worldly powers may be, Roman rulers in Jesus' day, or contemporary tyrants, corrupt politicians, corporations that destroy the environment, or structures that further systems of systematic racism, Christians are called to witness to another greater power. Our baptisms mark us for this purpose. Sometimes the church does a good job. Sometimes we don't. Years ago now, when I first began my ordained ministry, I took a call from a young man who wanted to talk about baptism. I was really excited. The man, who I will call Jason, wanted to know if there was a ceremony to remove one's baptism. He explained that his parents had had him baptized as an infant and had raised him as a Christian. But when he came out to his family as a gay man, his parents disowned him and his church family rejected him. Jason clearly understood the connection between his baptism and his identity as Christian. He was sad and angry. He wanted nothing more to do with Christianity, so he wanted his baptism removed. After hearing Jason's story and affirming his hurt, I assured Jason that there were Christian communities where he would be welcomed and celebrated. But I also told him there was no ceremony to remove baptism, because baptism celebrates something that existed before we were ever baptized, God's love for us. I told Jason he could abandon his relationship with the relationships his baptism had created with the church and other Christians, but that he would always and forever be loved by God. All four Gospels talk about Jesus' baptism. The conversation between Jesus and John in our Gospel story today is unique to Matthew's Gospel. When John protests that Jesus should instead be baptizing John, Jesus says, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper in this way to fulfill all righteousness." This is what baptism means to Jesus. Righteousness is one of those weighty words we throw around in the church, often without first sussing out its meaning. Here, the author of Matthew uses righteousness to mean an act of obedience to a divine command. When God's voice proclaims, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased," Matthew is telling us exactly what pleases God, the divine son's obedience. In being baptized, Jesus fulfills all righteousness. Jesus began his ministry after this baptism. So before we meet Jesus, the compassionate healer, or the wise teacher, or the fierce prophet, we meet Jesus as fully obedient to God. This is fulfillment of righteousness. Interestingly, Matthew never uses the word "fulfill" to describe the righteousness of the disciples. It is Jesus who fulfills all righteousness, leaving his disciples and us free to practice righteousness by following Jesus. Obedience is something humankind struggles with, and so we must practice. Our obedience brings God pleasure. Obedience is what embracing, engaging our belovedness looks like. Our baptismal covenant, the promises we will reclaim together in just a minute, is the foundation on which we build our practice of obedience. Well, my young friend Chris may have a hard time being obedient to her grandma buddy, Betsy Winters. Chris has a firm grasp on being obedient to her identity as God's beloved. Back in early November, when we renewed our baptismal covenant as a part of All Saints Day, I invited all the children, just as I did earlier, to help me fill the font and bless the water. I used water from the font to mark the cross on each child's forehead, telling them that they are loved and blessed by God. Well, Chris decided to share her belovedness with others. For weeks after All Saints Day, Chris wet her thumb and made the cross on people's foreheads, telling them that they too are blessed by God. What does your baptism mean to you?